welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Phil. This week we review Black Swan and I Love You, Philip Morris. And now here are Mr. Film and Mr. Movie.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Phil. Now, our first picture this week is Black Swan, a dark psychosexual thriller starring Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
I had the craziest dream last night about a girl who was turned into a swan. But her prince falls for the wrong girl, and she kills herself.
You're the most dedicated dancer in the company.
Our new swan queen, the exquisite Nina Sayers.
Seduce us! Attack it! Attack it! Come on!
Nina, played by Natalie Portman, is an up-and-coming ballerina, and it looks like this will be her season. She is offered the lead in Swan Lake, playing the demanding dual role of the white and black swans, and the head of the ballet company, Thomas Leroy, played by Vincent Cassell, has taken a particular personal interest in her. Her star is definitely in the ascent, but Nina is being held back by her own dark demons and by her obsession with her understudy, Lily, played by Mila Kunis, a less experienced dancer who makes up for this with her wild sexual energy. Black Swan is one of those kind of films that really rewards if you already have some knowledge or experience of ballet before you walk into the theater. You'll eventually figure out what director Darren Aronofsky is up to, but I think you'll have a deeper appreciation for the film if you at least have some idea what Swan Lake is all about. To its credit, the characters in the film describe the plot several times in appropriately offhanded sort of ways that doesn't bog down the plot. While the film takes place in the world of the ballet, it's mostly a reflection of Nina's damaged psyche. And part of the fun of the film is trying to figure out what's real and what's all in her head. Some of it's obvious, reflections that act independently of her, some not so much. And Nina's personal Heart of Darkness gives the film a raw intensity and disturbing worldview that few young actresses are allowed to explore. And Aronofsky builds a portrait of Nina that is at once disturbing, pathetic, and a little frightening. Controlled by her mother, played with a twisted sense of menace by Barbara Hershey, Nina is emotionally stunted. Her room looks like something out of a 12-year-old's fantasy. Stuffed animals and music boxes abound. A competent dancer, she lacks the passion of Lily. And egged on by Thomas, Nina begins to loosen up, leading to some intensely erotic and disturbing scenes between the ballerinas, and fueling Nina's growing sense of liberation, which comes at a dark, twisted price. For all intents and purposes, Black Swan is a horror film, and I say that in its best sense. The horror comes from the fears, delusions, and hang-ups of our heroine. While much has been made of the sex scenes in the film, I will tell anyone who's going just for those that they're not sexy, and they're not supposed to be, and that's the key to the horror here. Anything that should be joyful, happy, or liberating is turned on its head. For instance, a congratulatory dinner between Nina and her mother turns into a bizarre exercise in emotional brinksmanship. And the ball announcing Nina as the lead in Swan Lake is transformed into a moment of abject humiliation. And it just goes on from there. Now, I have to say that I did not love Black Swan. I liked it well enough. And as a technical exercise, it works. And it is menacing and creepy and weird. But there is a sense of passion missing. Because it is from Nina's point of view, we kind of get that passionless part of it. A part of the film is kind of the primary thing here. There's no life or energy to the film. And that turned the R-rated film from Fox Searchlight into a near miss for me. And just a near miss. But if you like thrillers or are a fan of either of the actresses, you'll find a lot here. And I'm going to give this a solid B.
All right, Mr. Film. Now, you said this was a horror movie. I didn't think it was a horror movie. There's a little, there is some aspects of that in here, but I think it's more of a psychological thriller, and sometimes that can be a very borderline issue.
Yeah.
But this is pretty much as close to horror as you can get that at least I can stomach. And as you know, I hate horror movies, but this is pretty dark. I have to say, this is not my kind of movie, but wow, this is a psychological thriller that that is very, very interesting, and I'm not exactly sure how to rate it here. Now, Natalie Portman's character in this is schizophrenic, and I really hate movies where you can't discern between what's real and what's not, like A Beautiful Mind, for example. I hated that movie. But you know what? This actually worked for me on a certain level. This is really Portman's movie. I like Natalie Portman, but there's a whininess to her that grates on me at times. It works in the movie because her character, Nina, she wins the part for the Swan Lake Ballet and has to play both the white and black swan roles. That white swan role embodies the do-good, by-the-book, must-do-everything-perfect and proper dance that Portman is so perfectly suited for. And that's fine, but Nina's ultimate struggle is playing the black swan character, one that is carefree but dark, skilled but relaxed, perhaps not always perfect but ultimately beautiful. That this is not only the ultimate challenge for Nina the character, but also for Portman the actress is so fitting. You know, I didn't even believe that Portman could pull it off in this, given how it's set up and given, you know, my experience with her past roles.
Yeah.
But you know what? Somehow she does. And I don't know if it was the special effects. And there are many special effects in this movie that are subtle and extremely well done. You're not even always sure that there was an effect there. Or maybe it was the makeup or genuine phenomenal acting. I'm not sure, but whatever it was convincing.
Yeah.
Now, much of this picture is shot in very tight close-ups, and the camera is a bit shaky. And again, that's something I usually hate, but it puts us in Nina's head. We feel this intense anxiety, on edge, we're paranoid. We, the audience, we want to scream and stretch out and take a breather, but we aren't allowed and are left gasping and twitching at each turn and in each scene. But this is done so subtly that we hardly know it. You just feel this, and it's kind of difficult to explain why, unless you reflect on it. And that's what a good motion picture does, I think. It tells a story not just with dialogue and actors moving about, but with the camera itself, which almost becomes its own character. The music in this is also wonderful, I think, simple and subtle, and it punctuates the movie perfectly, not overbearing or manipulative, as is so common in most of today's movie scores. Now, I think Black Swan is a near-perfect conducted ballet of a motion picture, from the directing, to the acting, to the special effects, the cinematography, the choreography, the score, the storytelling. All these elements dance in perfect symphonic unison to present one hell of a psychological ride. The only missteps here are a few scenes that do border on that horror movie-type techniques, and they work in the context of the picture, but I don't think they were really necessary either.
Yeah, I think I know which ones you're talking about, and I agree with you. That got a little...
Yeah, kind of towards the
almost
end
almost over the top.
Yeah. But as far as the message goes, Mr. Film, director Aaron Aronofsky seems to have an obsession with the beauty of man's self-destruction. And I think we saw that with his last picture, The Wrestler. And here it is again in Black Swan, but perfectly illustrated. This is also Natalie Portman's best performance to date, I think. It's not my favorite. And this is not also my favorite movie. Melding beauty and self-destruction is not a view of life that I share with Aronofsky, but nevertheless, we can appreciate it for what it is, a deeply disturbing psychological thriller that shows us what movie making is all about. I'm going to give it an A-, Mr. Film, but with the caveat that, you know what, this really isn't my kind of movie, but I think it's an interesting one and one worth checking out, especially, you know, if we want to see how a good story is well-constructed.
Yeah, and I agree with you on all those points, and I think that really speaks to and those are the kind of films I love, are the ones that you walk in, they're not really my kind of picture, but you walk out and say, wow, this is something else, and I think that you had one of those moments. So I think that obviously shows that this was a successful film. I found it a little. I think we know. I don't want to give too much away. I think we kind of did a little bit here, more so than what we usually do. But I think I know what the scenes you're talking about. I agree with you. Those got a little overwrought and really bordered on almost self-parody a little bit. But I think that the dancing was terrific. I think that the performances were great, and I agree with you. I think this is probably one of Natalie Portman's best pictures, and it showed a real range too. It isn't just her melting down. It's her, because when she melts down, things happen to her that she has to do some really interesting things at the end of the picture, which I think really shows that she has a real range. And so I think that this is well worth a visit, but I still, to me, it was just a hair miss for me in terms of being in the A category.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I think, you know, most people, they might want to cleanse themselves after seeing this. And, yeah. You know, even like with The Wrestler, too, I felt that way after seeing that. And I think a good alternative to The Wrestler, for example, is Crazy Heart, which is kind of a similar story, but actually has a better positive ending. So, you know, in light of the Aronofsky here and The Wrestler, you know, go see this, but then go watch Crazy Heart if you haven't seen it to get it out of your system, because you'll need to do that.
I think you always need an antidote for pictures like this.
For sure. All right. Absolutely. Well, our next movie, Mr. Film, might be the antidote. We'll see.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, we have the tongue-in-cheek true story. It's an R-rated comedy starring Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor in I Love You, Philip Morris, released by Roadside Attractions.
I would like to thank you for this man, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You're what?
I'm gay. Gay, 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 gay. It didn't take me long to realize being gay is really expensive. So I became a con man.
Cash or charge?
Charge.
Credit card fraud, anything to make a buck. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but I had no choice.
Stephen Russell, you are sentenced to 25 years.
Nice to meet you, Stephen Russell. My name is Philip Morris. This is Destiny.
We'll be together soon, I promise.
How do you keep escaping prison?
I have an early release order for Philip Morris.
And you are?
I'm his lawyer.
I Love You, Philip Morris tells the true life story of con man Stephen Russell, played by Jim Carrey. Stephen is a cop, a wholesome Christian, with a wholesome wife living in a modest town. The problem is, he's been living a lie, hiding the fact that he's really gay. When a car accident lands him in the hospital, he has an epiphany and outs himself to his wife and the world and endeavors to live a life true to his nature. And while being true to his nature means embracing he's a flaming homosexual, it also involves becoming one of the greatest con men of recent time. Now, Carrey's Stephen certainly isn't on par with Leonardo DiCaprio's Frank Abagnale Jr. from Catch Me If You Can, which is a much better movie. Definitely check that out if you haven't seen that. But the movie here manages to pull off a successful telling of this odd story. Carrey's crimes, of course, catch up with him, and he lands himself in jail where he meets Philip Morris, played charmingly by Ewan McGregor. Carrey has found the love of his life, and he uses his cunningness to land him and Morris in the same prison cell where their romance can blossom. Watching Carrey's endless pursuits to cheat his way to success is really the best part of this movie. It's a fun and funny ride. And I really liked how just when you thought the movie was going in one direction, it pulls a switch that is at once obvious but pleasantly surprising as well. This movie is also a good lesson about lying, how one lie or deception leads to another and yet another. And it's hilarious to see Carrey trying over and over again, despite the fact that he's ultimately doomed to fail. In fact, Carrey lies and cons so much that he soon forgets who he really is. In a way, like Black Swan, this is an exercise in self-destruction, but of course there's no beauty here. It's funny for sure, but it hits the right notes, and thematically, it's not trying to embrace some deeper meaning of the destruction of humanity and things like that. But we laugh precisely because he can't get away with it, and because he just doesn't get it, but keeps trying. Carrey loses himself in his lies, and ultimately, his own identity. Now, Mr. Film, anyone who's uncomfortable with gay themes and images will likely be turned off by this, I think. And there are a number of crude jokes here that were unnecessary, and you may want to take your eyes off the screen for these. But I was able to look past most of that. I enjoyed romping around in the celluloid with Carrey and McGregor for an hour and 40 minutes, and I think I'll give this a B.
Okay, Mr. Movie, I think you still have a fever. What are you thinking, a B? This is positively the worst film of the year. Unfunny. I think it was supposed to be a comedy. Uninteresting and just plain icky. I honestly don't know why this should have been made into a film. And that was what I was thinking the entire time I'm sitting there. So I actually spent some additional time doing research about the real story behind the story. And that was actually sort of interesting. Stephen Russell was a brazen, wild con man. So why the film focused solely on the love aspect of the film and kind of almost downplayed a lot of the cons, just showing us bits and pieces of that, I don't really know, and particularly how it kind of all pans out.
I think because that's been done before with Catch Me If You Can, and also I think they had to make a choice. You know, they had to say, are we going to, you know, kind of focus up this relationship gay aspect of it, or are we going to go more down the con room map? I think that if they only emphasized the con man part, I think, you know, if they had only put the gayness in there a little bit, it wouldn't have really worked. It would have been weird. Or if they took it out, I think it would have led to a lot of objections.
Well, and I agree with you there. There needed to be some sort of better balance or something. And it might just be me, but, you know, I just find the film to be kind of homophobic, or at least it bought into a lot of the gay stereotypes. For instance, you mentioned this. Steven's reason for becoming a con man was that being gay is, quote, expensive. Now, according to my research, he was pulling cons long before he came out of the closet. As a matter of fact, his whole life leading up to the point he came out of the closet was a con. So, I mean, he really almost was a con man from the inciting event we see right at the beginning of the film onward. The structure of the story was a little sort of strange for me. I really couldn't get what the film was trying to do. And even if you say, okay, the romance, they're trying to do something a little radical with the romance, I still don't get what they're quite trying to do, particularly because didn't you find a lot of the characterizations kind of superficial? I mean, didn't you want some sort of like a sort of a emotional scene or expository something with Philip Morris or Steven?
Not really, because I think the whole movie is kind of tongue-in-cheek, so you just have to go with it. I don't think you need those deep characters in this.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, maybe I just didn't get it. But I found the voiceover by Jim Carrey was sort of amusing, just sort of. But the voiceover isn't enough to carry a film. And in fact, I think that its overuse is a great example of why the film is for me, an abject failure. And I don't really get what the heck the film wants us to even think about our heroic gay couple and Steven's crimes. And I don't think it's all that radical that there's a film about a gay romance. We've seen these sorts of gay romantic films, and many of them became mainstream hits for about 20-something years. So, I didn't really find that offensive. I didn't find that there's a romance between, you know, two men was necessarily offensive, and I don't think that should necessarily keep anyone away from it. I think that they just should stay away because it's just poorly done on every level. You know, this is really a terrible film. And if you're looking for a good gay romantic film, I would go back about 20-something years to My Beautiful Laundrette, which has Daniel Day-Lewis in it, one of his earliest films, which is a pretty interesting picture. And also, if you're looking for a good con man job, con man film, you mentioned Catch Me If You Can. And I think those two films would pretty much fit, you know, any sort of.
And if I can throw a couple in the mix here, I think Kissing Jessica Stein is also a very good romantic comedy with a gay theme, but it has a twist at the end that you might not expect. And another good sort of serious drama that was made many, many years ago is The Children's Hour, which is a very good movie that touches on a lot of these themes.
Right, and you're right there. So I, you know, and I know, and from what I understand, some of the distribution for the film, they're only being shown at two theaters.
Oh, there were lawsuits with the distributor. I think the original distributor went bankrupt. I mean, this movie has been in development for a long time and was supposed to come out like 2 years ago.
I mean, I think this just had a lot of bad luck and a lot of terrible things happened to it as a picture. And I think from what I from some other research I did too, apparently some outlets have shied away from even carrying the film primarily because of the gay themes to it. So I want to be clear here that this film is not bad because it has a gay theme to it or you know, something that seems adult or something. It's bad because it's actually a poorly made film. So, and I will say finally, if I wasn't reviewing this film, I would have walked out in the first 10 minutes. That's how bad I think this thing was. So I actually have to go beyond bottom of the barrel. I'm giving it an F minus. So
F minus?
Worst film of the year.
No, that goes to The American. That gets F minus.
No way.
I think you gave The American a B too. So I guess this is payback.
Yeah, maybe that is double feature of the American and I Love You, Philip Morris, and see which one is actually worse. Which one brings us to tears first? And I think it'll be this.
The American, one. Yeah, for sure.
No way. You're out of your mind.
Okay.
Put a cold compress on your head.
All right. Well, speaking of movies that did not get good distribution, last week we promised that we were going to review All Good Things, but it's only playing in New York, so we'll have to review that at a later time. So in review of the movies we've looked at this week, Black Swan, first of all, Mr. Film gave it a B, and I gave it an A-.
And I Love You, Philip Morris. Mr. Movie gave that a B, and I gave it a deserved F-.
All right, fair enough. Next week, we're going to review The Tourist with Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp, and The Company Men with Ben Affleck, Tommy Lee Jones, and Kevin Costner, and finally The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, and Amy Adams.
And please visit us at our website, www.moviefilmshow.com. And if you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, if you agree with me, send us an email at mail@moviefilmshow.com. And please subscribe to us at iTunes. It's free, and all you have to do is hit the iTunes button on the Movie Film Show website, and you'll sign up, and you'll get to hear us every week at the convenience of your own computer.
All right, Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
Now, I think Black Swan is a... Squan. Now, I think...
That's the sequel.
All right, what are we doing next week, Mr. Film? I have like 20 movies on the list here.
You should do The Tourist.
Yeah, I want to see The Company Men, and I want to see The Fighter, too, so...
Okay.
Do you want to just do those three, or
yeah?
We could do two shows and
okay.
Let's just say those three, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. So okay. Well, we're gonna do.
So I'll see you next week, Mr. Movie.
All right. I guess we don't want to promote the show to anybody.
Oh shoot! I forgot.
You know, most people, they might want to cleanse themselves after seeing this.